Welcome to Curie, the podcast that takes you inside the biggest challenges in modern healthcare. I'm Matt, and today we're diving into a crisis that every healthcare professional knows all too well, the bureaucratic nightmare of insurance approvals. It's a system designed to control costs, but in reality, it often delays care, increases physician burnout, and ultimately drives up expenses. But today, we're not just talking numbers, we're letting the frontline physicians tell their own stories. You'll hear directly from doctors battling denials, paperwork overload, and a system that often seems to work against both providers and patients. These aren't just statistics. These are real-life experiences, and they paint a stark picture of how prior authorization, claim denials, and endless appeals affect patient care in ways that algorithms and spreadsheets can't measure. Let's start by setting the stage. A recent AMA survey found that physicians and their staff spend nearly 13 hours per week. That's almost two full business days just dealing with insurance paperwork. Hospitals and health systems are forced to spend almost $20 billion every year just to resubmit and challenge denied claims. And these denials? They aren't always justified. About 15% of all claims submitted to private insurers are initially denied, and over 54% of those denials are eventually overturned on appeal. That means that half the time, the denial never should have happened in the first place. But by the time these appeals go through, patients have already suffered delays, and physicians have already wasted countless hours fighting for approvals that should have been granted in the first place. So how does this play out in real life? Let's hear from Dr. Brian Miller, a pulmonologist from Pennsylvania who faced this exact challenge with a patient who needed a biologic treatment for asthma. But the insurance company? They wouldn't approve it unless he could prove an elevated eosinophil count, despite the fact that the very treatment keeping the patient stable was suppressing those markers.
Hello. I've had several experiences dealing with insurance companies where it was unnecessarily difficult to provide care for a patient that needed specific treatment. One such situation would be a severe asthmatic patient who did very well on a biologic sample. The insurance company denied this biologic because we were unable to show significantly elevated eosinophils. Part of the problem was that the patient was on chronic prednisone to suppress her asthmatic symptoms, and it was very difficult showing high eosinophils with prednisone use, period. We were able to show frequent exacerbation history, and the insurance company eventually approved the biologic therapy.
Hearing that frustration, you can feel the contradiction. The patient was doing well because of their existing medication, but that very stability was used against them to deny access to a better treatment. This isn't just an administrative hurdle, it's a systemic failure that leaves patients trapped on outdated therapies because insurers demand proof that's impossible to provide. And it's not just pulmonologists dealing with this. Dr. Anna Kananian, a rheumatologist from California, has seen this same issue unfold in her specialty. Patients needing advanced treatments for inflammatory conditions, but instead being forced into long, unnecessary courses of steroids because those medications are cheaper and don't require as many prior authorizations. Let's hear from a rheumatologist from California who explains how delays in medication approvals force patients into prolonged steroid use, leading to serious risks like diabetes, osteoporosis, and hypertension.
I have patients with multiple inflammatory conditions, including rheumatoid arthritis, and sometimes patients have to wait several weeks, and even months to get the medication approved. As a result, they are on chronic steroids use, causing additional side effects such as increased risk of diabetes, high cholesterol, and infections. Patients' disease is getting out of control, crippling them and affecting their ability to function.
That delay isn't just inconvenient, it's dangerous. Steroids might control inflammation temporarily, but they're not a long-term solution. Yet insurance policies often prioritize cost savings over clinical judgment, forcing doctors to prescribe suboptimal treatments until they've proven that the patient needs something better. The next story is one that every primary care physician can relate to. A patient in severe pain, needing urgent imaging, but getting caught in the endless loop of denials, peer-to-peer reviews, and unnecessary delays. In this case, Dr. Gary Cohen, a primary care physician from Maryland, had a patient with early signs of nerve root impingement, a condition where every single day matters in preventing permanent nerve damage. But instead of getting the MRI they needed, the patient was forced into conservative treatments first, delaying the inevitable. Let's hear his story.
I had a recent patient who had back pain with nerve root impingement and signs of very mild foot drop. Unfortunately, he required an MRI, which was initially denied by his insurance company. This required prior authorization, and again was denied. It ultimately came to a peer-to-peer review, which required almost 1 hour of time on hold until you could finally talk to a physician. The physician I spoke with was a retired dermatologist with very little knowledge of neurosurgical issues. Ultimately, the MRI was approved and the patient underwent surgery. Given the delay of at least 2 weeks, his outcome may be impacted and his ability to retain motor function may be delayed.
This is the real cost of prior authorization delays. Patients suffer, conditions worsen, and by the time the test or treatment is finally approved, the damage may already be irreversible. And these delays don't just affect patients, they affect doctors too. Every extra hour spent on appeals is an hour not spent treating patients. A staggering fact, for every hour of direct patient care, doctors spend nearly 2 hours on electronic health records and administrative tasks. That imbalance isn't sustainable. A system that was meant to control costs is instead wasting time, resources, and money. Hospitals face cash flow delays because claims remain tied up for months. Physicians experience burnout at alarming rates. And ultimately, these inefficiencies cost the system more, not less, in the long run. So the big question, how did we get here? Insurers argue that prior authorization exists to prevent unnecessary spending and curb the overuse of costly procedures. But when more than half of all denials are eventually overturned on appeal, it raises a crucial question. Is this process really about responsible cost control, or is it simply creating unnecessary barriers for both physicians and patients? If the goal was ever to ensure appropriate care, then it's clear something has gone wrong. Instead of streamlining treatment decisions, this system has introduced layers of inefficiency, forcing doctors to justify clinically sound decisions while delaying access to critical care. At this point, the focus has to shift from defending a broken system to fixing it. Prior authorization should be about facilitating the right care, not obstructing it. But without meaningful reform, it remains a process that prioritizes administrative hurdles over patient outcomes. The question now is, what can actually be done to change it? One approach would be to automate approvals for high certainty cases, eliminating the need for redundant paperwork and cutting down the time physicians spend justifying routine treatments. Another is reassessing the reliance on rigid lab markers, like the eosinophil count requirement we heard earlier, which forces patients to meet arbitrary thresholds instead of receiving clinically appropriate care. And then there's the issue of peer-to-peer review systems, which were meant to provide a fair assessment of medical necessity, but instead have become an additional layer of delay. Reengineering these reviews to focus on both speed and accuracy could ensure that life-saving tests and medications don't remain tied up in unnecessary back-and-forth negotiations. The good news, these solutions aren't impossible. They just require a shift in priorities, because at the end of the day, prior authorization should be about facilitating appropriate care, not creating roadblocks to it. So what's next? Some states are pushing for prior authorization reforms, including bills that would require real-time electronic approvals for certain routine procedures and limit how often insurers can require repeated authorization for chronic condition treatments. These are steps in the right direction, but the reality is that systemic change will require action at both the state and federal level. As healthcare professionals, you are at the center of this fight. Whether it's pushing back against unnecessary denials, advocating for change in hospital policy, or supporting legislation that simplifies the insurance process, your voice matters. Thanks for joining me today on Curie. If you found this discussion insightful, make sure to download the Curie app, where you can access exclusive episodes and deep dives into the policies shaping healthcare. If you're listening on public platforms, head to the App Store now to get access to Curie's personalized podcast experience, because the future of healthcare isn't just about medicine, it's about staying informed.